Travis Green joins us here on the program. Andrew Walker, Satshaw. How are you doing, Travis?
Hey, guys. All things considered, doing all right. Yourselves?
We're getting used to the new normal. We're both doing shows from our houses. So where do we get you from? What is your life looking like these days?
Well, it's a lot slower than it was 2 weeks ago, I can tell you that. It's I'm down in California and just kind of doing the same thing you guys are, taking it easy a little bit, trying to do some work from home, and just trying to adjust to the way life is right now in all of society.
What have your days looked like? Like, how have you been passing the time? Because, I mean, at least Wax and I have been doing our show, 4 to 7, we get prepared, but we're also trying to fill the rest of our days. Like, how are you trying to fill all the time in your day?
It's, I've talked to a few people about it. It's almost like the end of the season. Same kind of feeling. You're in a sprint that you love for 8 months when the season ends, and when it does finally end, you're almost in a, I don't know whether depressed or down or you're just, your body feels like it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Your mind's not. And it almost takes 10 days to 2 weeks to kind of feel normal again. And I think that's kind of where we're at as coaches, just kind of been decompressing and trying to turn your brain off, because there's so much going on in the rest of the world, but never mind we're not playing and we're not coaching right now, and just been trying to kind of get back to feeling normal again, I guess.
Well, you guys you're always working as a coaching staff. You're getting ready for the next game, and especially when you were in a playoff race and you were a point out and then a point in, and we all know the last 10-15 games was going to be such a grind for you guys, and then all of a sudden, just one day in Arizona, it just slams on the brakes. Have you got to that reality yet, or are you still kind of in the mindset that you're going to have to prepare for some big games out of nowhere in a couple of months?
Yeah, I think we're in such uncharted waters around the whole world. Everyone in society and life is really going through something they haven't done before. So it's not like we're sitting here feeling sorry for ourselves. It's reality. It is what it is. As far as what we're thinking and where we're going, I feel like in the last 3 or 4 days, as a staff, we're starting to talk about different things, starting to work on some different projects that you wouldn't normally get to work on, especially at a time where you're going to come back and hopefully play again and play for something exciting. You work all season long to get down to that final stretch, and it's been an exciting season so far. I've had 2 weeks now to reflect on it, and I'm like all the fans, like all our players, like everyone around the hockey world, we're really hoping that we get back and get to finish this season.
I think we all realize if the season gets finished, it's going to look a lot different. Like, is there any creative playoff scenario that bothers you? Because I've been, making the point that any type of hockey, I'm fine with. I don't care what happens. If we're lucky enough to get any type of hockey in the summer, let's go with that. I mean, do you have any, hesitations with certain scenarios, though?
I've tried not to even look too far into different types of scenarios that people have talked about. I know the league is going to take care of that if we get back to playing. For me, it's just, I just hope we get back and get to finish this season. You really hope that a Stanley Cup is given out this year. And like we said at the beginning of the year, we wanted our team to be able to play these type of games and put themselves in a spot to play for it. And I think up to date we have.
Travis Green, the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, joins us here on Sportsnet 650. It's Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah. So you were a player in the 05 or the 04-05 lockout. Now it didn't come as sudden. You had an idea that this was going to be life, and it was. You missed an entire year. Do you draw any experience from that? Like, what was your mindset when what you did for a living was completely wiped out for a year?
Yeah, I do. I was also part of the 90 or the 04 lockout, or sorry, 94 lockout, where we end up playing 48 games. And, you know, looking back, I think I had matured a lot from one lockout to the other. And I learned a lot in the first lockout as a young player. I probably didn't put enough work in during that time. And we ended up coming back and playing 48 games. And I really didn't have a very good season. And, you know, it was more out of being probably a little bit too lazy, not having myself prepared enough. And I remember as a player, the mental grind of, you know, just day to day wondering, okay, are we going to play? Is there any movement? So I understand what players are going through, but it is different now. It's a different reason. There's so many more things that people are worrying about in society and life. And you see the people that are putting work in to help others. You know, there's a party that also knows you got to, hockey's not the most important thing right now, and making sure that not only Canada and the States, but the whole world gets through this is such a bigger deal than this, you know, the getting back to playing and worrying about our day-to-day mindset and how we're going to get through each day without hockey. It matters to us, but there's also a lot of other things in the world that matter right now.
Well, and then when you get that time to kind of reflect on how the season went, I know you kind of mentioned it a couple of times now. When you think of how the season had gone, the position you guys put yourselves in, now we had time to get away from the everyday and the everyday battle of it. I mean, every loss kind of felt like, you know, it's a dagger. Every win feels like you're on the right track again. Now that you can kind of take that separation, how do you evaluate how the season had gone up until the stoppage?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said I sat back and just really did a year-end dive like I do at the end of every season. I haven't done that yet, but I can tell you that I'm really proud of our group from what we've done this year, where we've come from the year before. You know, the excitement that's in the city now from when I first came to Vancouver and just, you know, feeling it when you go out or when you're in the building and you walk around and seeing where our city's at as far as hockey goes and the excitement level within our organization is, you know, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of our players. I think for the most part, they've been a group that's really hung tough and showed up, found a way to win games playing together. We've talked about buying in this season, that we're really going to need buy-in throughout our group. And I felt like we've got that and we got a group that cares. You know, when you're coaching, you want players that really care about it and want to do well. And this group it's been a fun group to coach, a group that I appreciate coaching.
Travis Green joins us here on Sportsnet 650. You mentioned as the lockout shortened season in '94, '95. You're right. You came back. You had five goals in 42 games.
I knew you'd pull up my stat.
But the next year, and you said, hey, that was maybe my fault. The next year, you probably had your best offensive season that you ever had in your career on the island. It was almost you know, making up for it. Was that a message? Not that I don't know, you know, how much you got to address your players or you have talked to guys in the last couple of weeks. Was that a message for your young group? Is like, hey, this is what happened to me. And yeah, there is a factor of the unknown here, but you got to keep yourself ready.
I have, we've had communication with our players a lot. I've been kind of trying to bide my time. I don't want to be in their ear every day. Our strength coaches have had a lot of contact. I actually just wrote an email and sent a document out to our players. I've been talking to a few of them individually. I try not to go back to, hey, when I played. I try not to bring that up to many players. I've just never been that coach. But, you know, I do try to talk to them about things I've gone through, and that would be an example, especially with some of our young guys, when I talk to them about certain things. And, it wouldn't be the same for every player. There might be some young guys were way ahead of me at the same age mentally and probably work ethic and you know, and yet there's maybe some older guys that you need to tell a story to here and there that tries to hit home. But it was definitely a big time learning experience for me then, and something that I'll definitely, you know, be able to relate to some of the players now and talk to them individually about, which I will probably over the course of the next week. I'll touch base with every guy individually by phone, the ones I haven't, and kind of check in to see how the workouts are going, what they're going through, how they're feeling mentally, not just physically, because it is a mental grind a little bit when there's uncertainty and you know, working out by yourself is something that these guys aren't used to, but it's definitely something you can do if you put your mind to it and make sure that you're in top shape.
Well, you also mentioned how you as a coaching staff have been kind of talking, exchanging ideas and stuff recently too. So like, how do you use this time to improve on the coaching aspect or come up with these ideas? Like, how big a part of your day is that kind of becoming now?
Well, it's starting to now. I, at the end of every season, I do a dive into our past year, and you know, there's not many times that you're in a season, you know, it's never happened before, where you actually can take a step back and take a hard dive into your team from an analytical standpoint and really see where you're at and maybe have an opportunity to make, you know, some big time changes. If we had 1, 2, 3 weeks, we could also alter some of our systems. We did a lot of different changes from last year to this year in our systems. I don't want to say a lot, but we made some changes that I really thought helped our game. And I'm now in the process of kind of comparing how those changes were just analytically over the course of a season and how much we liked them. And if there's other areas that we think, okay, well, maybe we've talked about doing this. Is it time to do it? Do you have the right type of team to make those changes? And are you capable of playing to a certain style? Because as a coach, you can sometimes you might see a trend, but you got to make sure your team can do that, and if they're capable of it, and how your team is built.
When you look at, like you said, the totality of the season, and I'm kind of speaking in finality here because it kind of feels like it's over. We'll see what happens in the next couple of months. But
right.
How would you describe, you know, how far you've come? No, not that you weren't there before, but on Jacob Markstrom, right? He was having a Vezina caliber season. Then he goes down,
sure.
and you guys are trying to keep your head above water in the playoff race, and we're all asking the question, is he going to be back in time for the stretch
right.
run or for the playoffs? And then all of a sudden it ends, and that might be it. Jacob Markstrom now is a free agent. How do you look at your goaltender and his importance to everything?
Well, he's been important for sure. I think anytime you, at the beginning of every season, there's all predictions of where people are going to finish, what place is this team going to be? Do they have a chance to make the playoffs? And whenever you look at teams that are vying or making surprises, I think most people would be surprised that we were pushing to get into the playoffs and, you know, really winning percentage. We're sitting at third in the Pacific right now, and 5 games before that, we were battling for first or whatever it was. And you usually don't do that unless you've got a goalie. Unless you've got a goalie that's had a good year. Any team that goes far in the playoffs always has a good goalie, and Markey's given us that. He's given us good goaltending, you know, right from day one this year. You know, and I don't want to undersell it. He's had a phenomenal season, and I think that's one of the keys you have to have if you want to have a team that advances deep into the playoffs or surprises people and pushes themselves to get to a playoff spot like our team has had. Am I surprised by it? No. I'm not. I think since I've come on board, I've said that I've got a lot of belief in this guy. Went to a Calder Cup final with him in the American League. He's competitive. He's confident. He's a good goalie. He wants to win. And not surprised that he's had a good season. And, you know, even when he went down and he got hurt, I didn't say it publicly, and I wouldn't have said it publicly anyway, but there's always a chance that it was going to take Demmer a little while. I've talked openly about the pressures of goaltending and becoming a starter. And, you know, I think the Demmer we saw after 4 or 5 games of Markey being out was a little more consistent in what he'd expect in his game. And, and I thought those first 4 or 5 games, he probably was a little bit nervous, and that's okay. That's a young goalie that's nervous is supposed to be. But what I saw out of his last few games was another goalie that's, you know, we got a good tandem there with our two guys, and hopefully we find a way to keep them both.
Well, I mean, you look at how the goaltending has been overall in the season, and you add in the rest of the group guys, the rest of the guys that help out the core players, and there have been a lot of guys that have been contributing. But, you know, you have a legit number one guy in Markstrom. Quinn Hughes comes in as a rookie defenseman and plays like a legitimate top-pairing defenseman. You know, you have Elias Pettersson right. second year. He's playing like an elite centerman. And then JT Miller comes in. And I know, Travis, when the team acquired him, you were already big on him. You expected he would fit in really yeah. well. But did you think yeah. he was going to make this type of impact?
No, I don't think the one thing I try not to do, again, you guys hear me say this a lot, I don't try to put expectations onto players that that we don't need to do. I knew when we traded him, we were getting a very good hockey player. I knew when I talked to him on the phone, I was talking to a guy that felt like he hadn't really got to where he thinks he can go, wanted to be a better player in the league than he had been, wanted to have ownership, wanted to have leadership qualities within the room. And I told him flat out, you'll get that opportunity here. Every player wants that in their career. But now when you get here, you got to walk the walk. And he was up for it. He came in great shape. And, you know, sometimes when a player does that, you got to give him a lot of credit. And he's taken the bull by the horns, and he's been a great player for us. And not just with his play, but his, you know, the way he carries himself, the swagger, I like it. I think our team has needed some of that. And the confidence that he has, he's been a really good addition for our team. It's been a great trade that Jim made.
Travis Green joins us. I saw it was about a week ago, I guess, Jeremy Roenick was on Twitter and said if he could pick anyone to quarantine with for a few weeks, it'd be you. I don't know how that matchup would go. You have a teammate that you'd avoid like the plague if you had to stick with him for a couple of weeks.
I don't know if I have any guys that I would avoid, but I actually heard that that JR said that, and it's a nice compliment from him. He's got a lot of friends around the league, and he was a good friend of mine when we played together. Good friend of mine still, and it's funny when you play long enough or you're in this game long enough, and there's so many good people, and you don't always get to see their personalities away from the game. Obviously, JR, you get to see the way he is. He's not afraid to show it, and he's a real caring guy as well. But, you know, even coaches around the league that I'm friends with now, there's so many good guys that are, you know, when you get them away from the rink, most of the hockey guys are good guys to hang out with.
Have you played any online poker yet? Have you dabbled back
no,
in that?
No, not yet. Well, hasn't come to that yet.
It was funny, I don't know when you kind of started in that world, but I remember in the 05 lockout, the entire country was without hockey for a year, and I don't know why that specifically, but it felt like everybody substituted like poker games with their buddies. I know I did for Saturday night NHL hockey. It was like this natural thing. Maybe it was because they just started showing poker on TV. I don't know if there'll be a similar replacement, in the coming months, but I know 04 was when so many people in this country got turned on to playing Hold'em for the first time.
Well, I remember it. It kind of replaced, I don't know if you like that competitive vibe that players vie for. That's part of the thing they miss. When you're not playing and you're not coaching, you miss that that time where you're just going out to play a game that really matters, and your compete level is as high as it can be, and that's part of why we love playing the game and love coaching. It's anytime you can do something for a living that involves being in a game like that where you got to leave it all out there, you're pretty lucky.
Well, we appreciate it, Travis. I know you're probably very busy at the moment, but we appreciate you taking the time anyway.
Yeah, not really.
us too. But I know that the city likes hearing from you, and it was a shame it had to be delayed or end so suddenly. But here we are. We hope you're taking care of yourself, and we'll see you soon.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. And again, like you said, it's important that everyone does their bit right now to try to make sure that everyone's safe and healthy. And as usual, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Talk to you soon, Travis. Thank you.
Okay.
He is Travis Green, the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, joining us from California.